Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Listening to NRBQ. Remember NRBQ? Do you guys ever listen to NRBQ? Riding in my car. It's a little on the nose, but I was just thinking about them. I was thinking about how we used to travel with them. My friend Eddie and I didn't know who they were. He was always dragging me. I had this friend in New York, Eddie Gordetsky. Still have a friend. He's still around. He created the show Mom.
Mom.
He was one of the first guys to look at my writing and say, keep writing. But would hang out with him and his friends Penn and Teller in New York. And occasionally we travel and go see. But we'd follow NRBQ. We'd follow Bob Dylan. He knew a lot of people. Jake Isles Band. We famously saw Jake Isles in some bar in New York. And the guitarist decided to do a little solo with his teeth. And his tooth flew into the air and arced and landed right in front of my cocktail. And I went, wow, that's a show.
That is a show. Did you keep it?
I know.
What did he do? What happened to it?
Oh, man, on eBay right now. Yeah. That could be $10.
I've got it in my pocket.
He took it to the dentist.
Yeah.
It was gross.
Look, I mean, what makes rock stars' teeth come out?
A G-string. Yeah. No, it was probably the thick E-string. In high school, I did a Hendrix solo for a show as in a high school band in front of the school, and I play with my teeth. Luckily, my teeth did not come out, but it could have. Now, I've got this broken tooth in the front that Kenny Helene broke with a rock in the fourth grade, and they took the piece, just like I'm sure they did with Jay Giles, and they just glued it.
It's still there?
But it's still there.
Die, you're lucky.
If you want to look up a picture of me on the internet, there are many, several naked. But if you have a close-up of my teeth, you'll see beautiful white teeth and a yellow front tooth, and that's the tooth.
And you had a dead tooth.
It's not dead. It's alive and well. But it's cracked right here in half. And there's no way to bleach it, so
if the audience could, the listening could see you pointed your teeth like a
rodent,
like a slack-jawed yokel, right tooth.
No,
that's crazy. It's lasted that long.
They, you know, when you're when you have a dentist, I have a terrific dentist, but when you're on TV, they really want to perfect your teeth because you're like a billboard for their work. And he really got a little obsessed with my tooth, and he was going to drill it and inject it with bleach too. And I said, no, no one cares. I'm sorry. That seemed like the wrong thing to do, right? To bleach it from the inside out, Zuckerman?
That sounds a little dangerous. And then he could say, then I'm going to try this on your eyeball. We're going to make your eyeballs nice and white. That sounds rather radical and invasive.
We're going to cure COVID with the bleach. Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, welcome to Spike's Car Radio. And you're here for a delightful show. We have audience questions. We have Dear Zuckerman. We have a lot to talk about in the news. We have some car adventures. Zuckerman, I wanted to play this for you, and you too, Johnny, but I only have one extra
setup. That's okay, that's okay.
We had Pat Long on. Actually, Johnny, you should listen to it. You were there.
Pull one of your earphones out and hold it near my ear.
No, I can't do that.
If you put down your stinky cigar
I'm not
cigar
putting down
here.
My stinky cigar.
I don't want to do either, but we had a listener in Denmark who sent me a very nice voice memo, text, DM, and gently told me I've been pronouncing Lufgekult incorrectly. And here, let me see if I can pull up the phone here. This is his message. His name is Casper.
Hello, Spike. Casper here from Denmark.
Yeah.
In Denmark, we are a neighboring country to the Germans. So this is just a friendly message. Luftgekühlt. Luftgekühlt.
You hear that, Zuckerman?
Luftgekühlt.
Luftgekühlt. He keeps going. Look.
Ever again. Luftgekühlt.
He keeps going, sir. Listen.
The K U H L. The U is with umlaut.
Umlaut.
So it has to be pronounced like gekühlt.
Gekühlt.
Luftgekühlt. Say it, Johnny.
Luftgekühlt.
No, Luftgekühlt.
Luftgekühlt. We are a little country neighboring Mexico, and we say Luftgekühlt.
Listen, this is his good day.
One of the most amazing car shows.
Oh, that's nice.
On this planet.
I forget he said.
Thank you, Casper.
All the best.
And then he throws in that little gekult at the end. I don't know that we can say gekult every
time. He speaks English better than 50% of the
insane,
population,
right?
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, 50. Yeah. In L.A., 90.
Yes. And we're talking native born.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that was fun, Casper. Thank you for that. What is Dear Zuck? Oh, Long Beach Grand Prix is coming up. I'm going to be there. I was going to get one of those IndyCar ride-alongs, but I think you and I are going to be out of town in Vegas seeing our friend perform. But
that
I'm going to go
this weekend already.
It is,
holy
and Sunday
moly.
Morning though, I'm going to be guest of the Chip Ganassi crew.
Nice,
Scott Dixon.
Hey baby,
my man.
It's going to be great.
Hey,
I think
baby.
I'm going to be in a pace car flying around, and I'm excited. I'm excited. Last year we had a great time. With Chip Ganassi and those guys, and this year Beth Peretta.
Oh yeah,
she took us around.
We love Beth.
This year we're going to be with Chip and that whole crew. It should be great. And if you see me, say hello. I want to say hi to you.
Spike loves hugs from behind.
I do. Also, you know, after our Le Mans show, I was asked to be part of a documentary film on the history of Le Mans. I am such an expert. That Porsche
awesome.
And
wow,
the
really?
Yes, I am going to be one of the experts there to talk about not just the 100th anniversary this year of Le Mans, but also Porsche.
Okay,
been there since 1951.
Great,
because of you know you and I were chatting. I communicated so much knowledge,
so much
about Porsche and the race. They immediately said, "We want you for this film." I've already shot a little bit with Pat Long.
No kidding.
And Rod Emery in the car that won in 1951.
Fabulous.
But the reason I bring it up, not just to blow my own horn, Johnny.
Blow your horn.
Hey, Zuckerman, you're making a lot of mic noise, taking pictures. Podcast. Here is the reason I bring it up. It's the 100th anniversary, and Porsche really wants to win.
Yeah, so does everybody.
Do you think Cadillac? This is our bet that I said Cadillac's going to win it. You said Porsche's going to win it.
Yeah.
You already won at Sebring, but there was no bet.
There's no money on that.
The Cadillacs did great.
They did good.
But Porsche really wants to win that. That's what I've learned doing this documentary in which I'm the expert.
I love it.
They want to come back. They want to win the 100th anniversary.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to win.
Well, not everybody. Porsche. Do you think everybody wants to win as much as Porsche?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, this is a big one to win. Yes, this is the race. I mean, I know I've talked to like Cadillac. I've talked to Porsche. I've talked to Acura. Acura really wants to win.
Everybody wants to win, but don't we want someone with a
pedigree?
Pedigree.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. Are you going to the race?
I have been before. I would go.
I'm going. I got my.
Why don't
invite.
You cover it for us?
I will be the correspondent.
Zuckerman and I. Yes. We hate to travel.
Okay.
Zuckerman and I hate to travel. Right. So
Zuckerman, it's 3 a.m. and I'm very drunk and there's an angry British man.
You know what I remember about the race that's really fun? It was like Woodstock. Like the fans go there and then they just sleep on the ground.
Yeah.
They stay there the whole time in sleeping bags.
It's drinking. You're leaving
and
out
drink.
Drinking.
And rain, it didn't matter. It's such a cool thing to look at, Zuckerman.
Yeah, always rains. And yeah.
And you have backpacks and sleeping bags, and they're just laying everywhere. Really cool.
What you got to get to once is the Nürburgring 24-hour, because it's 100,000 more people than Le Mans, just because the track is so much physically bigger.
You want a nightmare.
And they're much drunker, and they like build temporary shelters, and then at like 4 a.m, they just light them on fire. It's insane. Like out in the middle of the forest, it's like feral like Germans.
What could go wrong?
What can go wrong?
It's great.
Back to the barbarian days.
As a Jew, let me tell you.
Yes.
It's burning. Wild. Yeah, it's great. It's fun.
That is bizarre.
But hey, Spike, congrats. That's a cool documentary.
Yeah, it should be fun. It should be fun. I'm studying up. But really, my part is just talking about the road cars that kind of came out of the race and how they feel on the road. They've got the real racers informing them about that part. So,
killer.
You know, it's fun. And we had a nice time with Rod Emery up in the Mallet.
How
were in
was
that
car? Can you review it a little bit?
I don't want to talk about it because it's in the film. But I'll tell you this: what's remarkable about it in 1951, right? Porsche enters this race car, their first big race, and they win. Right?
Yeah. Wow!
They had four cars. This is the one that ended up doing it. The other three crashed.
Sounds like Le Mans.
The next year, it came to California, and it's been here ever since.
It's wild.
Isn't that a wild story? That's wild.
And it's crazy because usually old race cars, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pull them out of a barn.
Well, Von Neumann had this one and eventually cut the top off it, and that's where Rod Emery found it and did what he did, the miracle restoration on that car. And now it's on its way back. So we drove it, and then it got on a plane, and it was flying to France for this anniversary where it's going to do parade laps.
Awesome.
Return.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is a nice. Very cool story.
It is cool. And
Rod
it was
did
fun.
Great work.
Yeah. It's you know, the number's 45 on the side. It's got 46 horsepower. It's very slow and Volkswagen-y.
Isn't that crazy? It won with 46 horsepower. It won.
Well, imagine the time.
It could do about 108, I think I recall him saying. But it's so comfortable. You're in it and you're just like, I totally understand how this came off a racetrack and then everybody wanted one in their garage.
I mean, that was sort of what Germans at the time, German cars, like they didn't have the big engines that the Italians had. They didn't have the big American engines. But what they could do is they could make them reliable, they could make them light, and they could make them comfortable, which is actually, for an endurance race, is a huge advantage.
Yep.
And that's why Mercedes the next year with the first Gullwings, that's why they did so great that year in 52, is because the cars were just comfortable, didn't break, and, you know.
Yeah,
and they didn't have a lot of resources then. They couldn't make a big car. They didn't have access to steel.
They
didn't have access to gasoline. There were very, very few resources to build these cars.
The 52s, the W194 Mercedes, the first Gullwings, they were built out of like Junker bomber, like magnesium and aluminum, like war surplus.
You know, and along with the engine. The engine was from warplanes.
No, that was a straight six. That engine, they had that, but the engine was out of the sedan. It was out of like the 220. So it was just a slow engine that they put direct injection on and got it to like, you know, from 120 to 200 horsepower. So, but you know, they could, you know, again, light, comfortable, reliable, and they excelled at endurance racing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they killed 90 people at Le Mans 55, and that was
that's just a shame.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That was the end of Mercedes.
Forget what I was going to say about that. I just like reminding Well, a couple things. Here's what I was going to say. Porsche didn't really have an advertising department and thought, why don't we kill two birds with one stone? We'll win races. The motor press will take care of all the advertising. And just as long as we win, it will work. And it worked. I thought
win
that
on
was
Sunday,
pretty neat.
Sell on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the technology that was coming out of that race and ending up in passenger cars, headlights, windshield wipers.
Yeah.
You know, that's
crazy stuff.
That's a very cool story. So, you know, that'll be released, I think, sometime in May. Ahead of Unfrosted, weirdly. And I don't know where you see it. I've heard that it's going to be Amazon, but who knows? I'll let you know. But anyway, it's been fun. And Robert Dalrymple, noted Porsche collector, director, enthusiast, is directing it. And it was fun.
That's so cool.
Good time. Yeah, it was a good time.
Fantastic.
What else can I tell you about? I was going to talk about these Series 2A wiper blades, but it's not a real issue and topic. But maybe you've dealt with this with your Speedster, Zuckerman. When you have these tiny little wiper blades with a tiny little thin rubber.
Yes.
And because you never use your wipers. Oh, hold on. That's my son with a review of his Surron. I got to turn that up. The weather and the heat and
causes them to disintegrate.
Disintegrate, right? But if you never use your wipers, well, I had the Series 2A in the driveway when it was raining, and I had to drive it the other day, and it's just perfect. That guy Martin really dialed it in. I turned the wipers on, and
did you scrape the
no,
windshield?
No, they worked perfectly, but I had a little flapper. Mm. You know what I'm talking
you don't
about?
Like flappers.
You know the separation like this?
Yeah, and it was hanging down.
Yeah, and I remember that happens with Speedsters too.
Yes.
Right? That little pointed area.
I have had that.
Yeah, yeah. And I really kind of regret turning those wipers on. I don't know what this is.
It never helped.
It wasn't a topic, but yeah. I had to go on to eBay and now search for...
I rarely, when it's raining, turn the wipers on a vintage car. It doesn't help. It makes it worse.
Well, it worked pretty well for a minute.
First, and then it was a flapper.
Yeah, then it's a flapping piece of spaghetti flying around. And that has the potential to send me into putting a gun in my mouth. Or selling the car. But I managed to find...
I would sell the car before you blow your head off.
Oh, I
right.
Don't
know. You do blow your head off.
But what is that thing? Like, one thing goes wrong with your car. Now, I forgot last summer I had these guys work on this car, right? I told you about this.
Right.
Total Carnesia moment. I haven't driven it for 5 months. I get it, it starts up. I'm like, what is different about this? This thing is great. Then I remember, oh, they did all the work on it, right? But what is it about the one little thing going wrong that has the potential to send you into a depression? Or me? Or is that just me, or is that car collecting?
No, it doesn't to me. On the Speedster, which I just got back from John Wilhoit down in Long Beach, one of the nuts on the license plate frame came off, and the license plate swung ever so slightly down against the paint, leaving a scratch the size.
The width
of your fingernail, and of course,
wait, just now?
No.
This was a while ago. I
remember
that.
This is when we were up in Pebble.
And, yes, and I had nightmares about it.
And so then, you know,
I'm not lying.
I know you're not lying. That's why I'm laughing.
The nut goes internal into the back of the car. You cannot reach it through the engine compartment. So it had to go down to Long Beach, but then it was down there and John serviced it and he had to make some modifications
right
to the carburetors. Because remember there was that little funny thing about it was sometimes stopping, you would pull up to a light and it would just go dead.
Yeah.
There was a little funny, weird blank spots in it. And so now it's perfect. Wow. It is perfect. And talk about Carnesia. When you get back in that car, I haven't driven it for a season, essentially.
Yeah, it's been wet, yeah.
Every successive year you get into a Speedster, it is more otherworldly. It becomes ever more remote from its origins in the sense mm-hmm. that people have no clue what the hell you're driving anymore, which is strange to me because it's obviously a Speedster. What else could it be?
Right.
You know, we have such a good license plate story coming up, and we thought we were on the we're in the end zone with it, and we had a flag on the play, but we're close.
We don't want to talk about it.
We can't talk about it yet. No, but it's good. We're almost there. We're almost there. I would say we're mostly there.
90%.
It's just on the wrong car now. and we're trying to migrate it to the Zagato. But maybe it won't
get there.
Maybe it won't end there. Maybe it won't end up
we'll
there.
We'll get it there.
Not we a, were also trying. This is, I mean,
this
again,
better be good.
I'm diving.
This plate
oh, it's the greatest plate in the world for us here in LA.
All right.
But I,
my friend
the
got
license
blue
plate,
cocky.
Oh, that's
blue cocky on his blue.
That's
cocky.
Horrible. That's he gross. Should be killed. That's
gross. I like blue cocky.
That's horrible.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Really and he's going to get all the chicks driving around in LA.
Why would you? Yeah, you just poison the.
He can't be married.
No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have a girlfriend, does he?
I just didn't know you could legally get plates like that.
You're not you supposed can't. To.
Well, they somehow.
What is he doing right now? Call of Duty with 13-year-olds right now?
He could be. He could be.
Yeah. What is it, though, about, you know, you and I and Jerry were having a cigar last week. He was in town, and we were, we got the great idea. You know, the 73 Tangerine RS that each of us has owned, and Sam Cabiglio has also owned. Cabiglio?
Cabiglio.
I say that. Jerry always corrects me. I don't. Now I'm completely confused. Anyway, we got the great idea. That car was on what? The Panorama cover in what year?
95.
And I have those copies for you, buddy.
Thank you.
You lost your original one.
In the fire.
I have another one. I have two more. And then, you know, Zuckerman has this plate on it that I had made on License Plate TV when I owned the car, which is a plastic plate where I took the white number issued by the state of California and I just said, just make that. They have since stopped License Plate TV from sending any license plates to California. And now, because of the heat, it's all warped and bendy. And I was like, you got to get a proper plate for this proper car. And we had the big idea to put to get that plate
and reunite
the best and reunite it with the car. But Sam said, no, he's got it on his car. But what?
Get it back.
Do we derive any pleasure? Wait, let me ask the question before you answer. Do we, as collectors, derive any pleasure from a special plate?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It finishes the car. You comb your hair in the morning. A man with a suit puts a tie on, cufflinks. These are the little things that just spiff it up. It's just the little finishing touch, the cherry on top, the cherry in the Shirley Temple. You need it.
You
not
need
a Shirley
it.
Temple without the cherry.
Mm.
That's true.
We've had a great plate on the Zagato that has nothing to do with the car at all. Right? What is it? YFZ.
Yep.
Right? The F for Ferriston, the Z for Zuckerman.
And the Y for Yeso.
Our favorite painter who works at my house every once in a while. He doesn't even know he's memorialized or commemorated on this plate. But I bought that plate off of eBay and I just kind of stuck it on the car. I don't even have a front plate. But it's not registered to the car at all. Isn't
but
that
the
a
real
crime?
Plates are,
huh?
No, the real plates are no longer in the car. We don't know.
Yeah, where are the real plates?
They exist.
I think they got turned into the DMV.
Did they? I don't think so.
I'll have to ask the Hungarian and get them back.
I don't think I gave him the real plates. I think I may still have those.
They could be in the box in the car, right?
That registration has not been changed in any way.
But it's valid. We have a valid registration
for
that car.
Okay. But who's going to pull me over?
You know, on the E-Type that I purchased, it came with a personalized plate that someone had put on. It's 61 E-Type Jag, E-Jag. And the prior owner had made that into a Series 56 license plate. So it looks perfect.
Right.
When I got the car through Gooding, they had to register it. I got a California plate, a brand new one on it. So fortunately, I was able to just have that plate reunited. And I would feel really terrible if I had a brand new license plate on the car. It would look stupid, wouldn't
it? Right. No, you want on a vintage car, you want a vintage.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get a vintage plate. I want them to start doing a blue and yellow plate.
See, I screwed up. I had a blue plate on my 914, and I got a custom black plate, and now I kind of regret it. I kind of
dumb.
On which car?
I have a 914 that is. It's just
well, switch
how
it back.
How come we've never seen it?
Yeah, it's a great question.
What year is it?
70.
Well, that would have to be a blue and yellow plate.
It was a blue and yellow, but I got a custom. I was all excited to get a custom plate, so I
go back
plate.
To it.
Well, I had to turn in the blue plate.
Never turn
Lieberman.
The plates in.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, Lieberman, why?
Well, I was really excited to get the custom plate.
Lieberman, this will make you feel better. When I bought that Conda Green 70S, I had the greatest blue and yellows, and I immediately got a white plate. I was so far at the beginning of my collecting, I didn't understand.
I will say...
And I recently found those plates, and I went, what are these from? These are awesome.
Okay. You know
and
what?
It was Vosek Polak plates.
If you have those plates...
Give them to me.
No, we can figure something out with them to put on the car.
I just need the car again.
Do you want to put those?
Yeah,
have
we'll
those
find
put
them.
On.
We'll find them. All right, we'll talk off the air.
RX.
We'll talk off the air. I don't even know if I want to get into this, but if it's in the show, then it's in the show. I didn't cut it out, but this is another just weird little story from my life, and I told you a little bit about it, Zuckerman, but there's a hiking trail at the top of one of the streets where I live, yes. Public hiking trail, beautiful hike up into the Santa Monica Mountains, and my son and I and his friend were going up there for sunset to go look at the city lights on our electric vehicles. You have to go through this this gate, one-person door gate that stays open to 8 o'clock. You can ride up about, I don't know, 30 yards, and you've got a beautiful overlook of West L.A. It's nice, and his friend was in town. I wanted to show it to him. We were a little late. It was 8:05, and as we're coming up the hill, there's an acid green 992 GT3 parked across the street, like, being used to block traffic, and SoCal Gas orange cones also blocking off the last, I don't know, fifth of a block of a city block or a town block. And the guy gets out of his car and he goes, you can't go up there. And I, you know, of course, ignore him. I don't know what that person is or what I'm doing. Right. And we go up the hill and my son is yelling to me from the gate. He goes, we can't go up. The guy said we can't go up. And I yelled out, fuck that guy. In the acid green. Is it acid yellow? What is
it was
that
acid
color?
Green.
Yeah. Acid green, but it's a bright yellow. Yeah.
Fuck
GT3.
That guy, son.
Fuck that guy. Just come up. It's okay. And we, you know, go to our little place right there. And they do close the gate. They close the gate some nights between 8 and 8:30. You never know. But the ranger comes up, and if he sees you there, he goes, come on, everybody, it's time to get out.
Yeah.
Because it's a public park. You know,
sure,
people
sure.
are just trying to stay fit. And,
yeah, yeah.
Well, this GT3 owner, as I'm looking out, I'm so intrigued by the choice of GT3 and its usage to block hikers and cars from parking that I can't get it out of my head. We look for a minute, and then we go down, and he blocks the gate to exit. And he goes, you're not allowed up there. What? And I expressed myself to him and what I thought he was. But I did ask him, I said, are you a police officer? No. Do you work for the park system? No. But you can't be up there.
Whoa, the hall monitor.
Yeah. And I had a few choice words for him. And he decided to press the call box, which is right at the gate, for injured hikers, like the emergency 911.
Because he hurt his feelings.
That's a nice
because he said, you can't be up here. And I ended my little speech to him with, what are you going to do about it?
Press the button.
And he goes, I'm going to call the police. And I said, I'm going to stay for this. And when you talk to them, I want you to give them this name, Spike Ferriston. And I want you to tell them when they answer, Spike Ferriston is looking at the sunset with his kids on a bike. And he presses the button. And the guy goes, yes, what's your emergency? And this deranged idiot, he had to be like mid-30s, and I'm looking at him, he's got like sweats under shorts, and it's not a good GT3 look. You don't get out of that GT3 in this look, and a weird workout outfit, like, but New Jersey boxer guy type outfit. And he goes, yes, I've got some people here in the park. And the guy goes, it closed 5 minutes ago, and they're still in the park. And he goes, okay. All right, well, you know, he's like that. I go, do you get it? Do you see how stupid you are? And we leave. And that now the guy starts following me down the hill. I end up having to call my security. Hey, I'm in a bit of a situation here. And it's truly hard to explain other than
this maniac.
This a yellow tennis ball yellow 992 GT3 harassing us on the way home. And he stops. The guy starts filming me. I was hoping it was going to get posted because he stops and he puts his camera up. He goes, you're going into a park after it closes.
What the
and
fuck?
I said, it's not closed until they lock the door.
And I go, but I, you need to tell me a couple of things. Why the fuck are you using your new GT3? It wasn't just me. There were three or four cars of kids that wanted to go up there and hike and see the sunset in California.
Yeah.
Why are you using this new? Who the fuck are you? Right, who are you? Right, what are you? Right. Now I just want to understand you. But I didn't know behind me, my kid and his friend had their cameras up. And one of them said, yeah, my dad just called security on you. He bolted. He just went, bam, took off.
So you never found out what his...
I have no idea what it, but I have been trying, and I called Zuckerman immediately. I go, you're not going to believe the type of human I just met. I'm fascinated by him. He had a beautiful car. He was using it to block other cars, which is bizarre, but... And I'll just, you know, just think about, I figure he's got the house, there's an empty house right by that entrance, and that he bought or rented this house without knowing or didn't care to pay attention to the fact.
And now he's bothered.
That all day long, and I mean all day long, hikers are coming up there. That's just that street, that part spot. Of Brentwood. People like to hike, and they come
you
up there.
Go and back and look and see if the car's at that house?
I know it is.
We could easily post the car on one of our Instagrams.
Sure, sure.
And someone would tell us in 2 seconds who this is.
I don't need to meet him.
No, maybe he was doing like a deal of some sort. And he witnesses every, around.
The security people shut him down pretty quickly. He had half of a block. He blocked it off because he wanted street parking. And this is a phenomenon that's happening all over L.A. right now because of construction. People think, we've talked about it on the show, you can put cones in front of your house. This guy said, not only that, I'm just going to put it down the street so no one comes up our city street. That's what I get to do.
Right. So it's like the people that live by the Hollywood sign. They're trying to block influencers. They're putting cones right. everywhere.
Yeah.
Just dumb. Throw those cones.
You I can because they're...
Didn't take the cones.
Yeah, I didn't want to
property.
I didn't want to escalate. I was already pretty hot. He caught me in a enough moment, but I would like to. Here's what I want to know, and because I spent an inordinate amount of time thinking about it, and it's really not anything about what I would have said or what I should have done. I don't care about that. I'll even apologize for some of the swear words I used. I need to know why. Between 8 and 8:15, he felt the need to just, because in 15 minutes, it closes on its own.
Right.
Like, what was he trying to manage right there?
We are going to get into this. I have a prologue, some prefatory comments about Dear Zuckerman, and this is going, this will inform you. My comments will inform in this situation.
All right. Well, let's forget about that. But if you do know this guy, the Brentwood Asset
Green GT3.
Can
I ask one
question,
though?
We'd like to meet him.
Do you worry about that kind of escalation with your kid around?
What do you mean?
Like, what if the guy, like, I don't know, pulled out something and shot you or, you know, I don't know. It's, or shot
that would
your
have
kid.
Been awesome. The sweet release of death. My kids were not close enough to it. They were looking at me just going, what is happening here? And I'm trying to explain. I can't tell you other than someone doesn't want us to hike and ride our bikes past their car. I don't quite know, but. I did not feel threatened by him.
Okay, because I got into it with a dude at a car wash, and then like my kid was in the car, and I was like, oh fuck, I got to get out of here. I gotta.
If you ask my kids, I had a little trick when they were younger. If somebody misbehaved like that, I would force them somehow to apologize.
It's your favorite thing.
Yeah, to apologize to my children.
I usually don't lose my temper, Johnny, for that very reason.
Yeah,
I don't want trouble. Yeah. Even by myself, I don't want trouble.
Yeah.
But every once in a while,
it looks
I'm human. I make mistakes,
but,
all right?
But that's
I'm losing my temper right now.
Yeah, no, that guy's crazy, though. Like, if
was
he's not a cop or a park ranger, like fuck
look,
off.
Look, all I would say is put yourself... in the state of mind where you want to see a beautiful California sunset at the end of the day and you're on a bike ride and somebody's blocking you from it. It's not something I'd ever been prepared to react to.
Right, right.
And therefore, I lost it a little bit.
That's just wild.
But I will. Wow. I would like to talk to this guy. And I would here's the first thing.
Let's get him on the show.
Here's the first thing I would say. Like, dude. You gotta get it. You gotta, if you're gonna do this, and that's fine. We've all done weird things in our neighborhood. Don't use a new GT3.
Right. You need a truck.
Someone is gonna hammer it.
Right, right.
If I were a different person, I would have rode my bike right into it. Right. There you go. Right. How's that?
I'll kill your fucking car. Yeah.
And it breaks my heart. I love GT3s. Therefore, I love most GT3 owners.
But he was acting like a Lamborghini guy. See,
he did not get hot, but he was pretty dumb.
That's weird.
He didn't have a good answer for why are you doing this.
Anyway, look, let me do an ad. Let me do an ad. And we have questions and we have Dear Zuckerman. And we'll figure out what to do next after this. But right now, let's talk about AG1. As you know, AG1 is Spike Car Radio's big supplement partner. And I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every day. I take AG1 in the morning. I take it in the afternoon. I take it before tennis. And it makes me feel unstoppable. It's hard for me to keep up with the supplement routine that comes with a bunch of different products. And it's the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute, which makes it so easy. AG1 is powerful because it's so easy. It fits into your lifestyle. One scoop of powder mixed with water once a day. AG1 has been part of millions of mornings since 2010, and it can be part of yours right now if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements. Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/spike911. That's athleticgreens.com/spike911 and check it out. You want to support the show? We're not going to make you pay for the show. Go to athleticgreens.com/spike911. Our sponsors love that. Even if you don't buy anything, go check it out.
Yeah.
It helps us out. All right. Let me see. There's a lot of stuff. Zuckerman, I mean, we can go a little longer tonight. I do have questions to get to, but there's...
I got this if you want it.
What? What is that?
Max speed.
Well, yeah, I know. Wow, that's the Bugatti Chiron. That's beautiful. I do want to hear a little bit about that, but I wanted to get, and this is way off subject, and it's not even appropriate for Spike's Car Radio, because it doesn't have a car in it, but I wanted to get Zuckerman's opinion on this. William H. Macy is in trouble, Zuckerman.
Finally?
Again.
Oh.
And you could just answer this quickly, and then we can get past it, all right? But apparently he cut down his neighbor's trees.
Yeah.
And his neighbor is suing him for great emotional stress to the tune of $500,000.
That's a hell of a tree.
Okay, this guy went away on vacation. Allegedly, William H. Macy then chopped his trees up. And this guy is devastated by it. It not only obliterated his privacy, presumably turning his house into a duck on a platter for all to see, but he says it's compromised the hillside. After he got over the shock, he went over and spoke with Macy about it, who acknowledged the misdeeds of his workers. In other words, we did it. As for why Brown is suing Macy, $600,000 for trimming his neighbor's trees. Damage to the trees, loss of privacy, destabilization of the hillside, loss of property value, loss of use, enjoyment of the property, and an increase in noise. Emotional distress, irritation, annoyance, and discomfort. The question is this another Gwyneth Paltrow deranged skier case?
No.
No. Tell me why.
Well, is this in California?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So there's a whole body of case law about trees, and trees are very valuable. You if you've ever done any landscaping, you know how expensive a tree is. You want to bring an olive tree in, you want it to be fully grown, you want it to be mature. It's incredibly expensive. So if somebody comes on your property and cuts down your tree, and these are mature trees, 20, 30, 40-year-old
trees. It sounds like he trimmed them, did not cut them down.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, it's trespass. Not allowed to go on somebody's property.
But are there damages for trespassing?
Well, but the value of tree, if the trees were cut down or
damaged where you need to replace them.
Yeah, and they need to be replaced, then you've got a claim. And I can tell you from my house burning down, the amount of insurance coverage for the replacement of trees is quite significant. So the trees have real value. Real value. Where we get a little bit sideways on this case, where the lawyer representing the plaintiff here, the harmed party, is going overboard because he wants to juice up the claims by saying, you've undermined the hill, and now we've got a stability problem, and we need damages for maybe a retaining wall, and then these things about emotional distress and noise. That's where they're gilding the lily. That goes too far. But the trees have real value.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
So this will go to trial.
No, it won't go to trial. What happened is that William Macy's insurance company offered something, and then the guy said it's not enough.
I see. Okay.
And where it is maybe a little bit like Gwyneth Paltrow is probably the lawyer, maybe not the neighbor. The lawyer says, well, if you don't pay me what I want, I'm going to file suit, and Mr. Macy will be embarrassed thinking he could get some value out of
it. But
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. That bullet has been fired. I got this information from TMZ. And Mr. Macy, if you recall, his wife went to jail, didn't she?
Yeah.
In the USC trial. He's immune to embarrassment at this point.
Yes, it's absolutely 100%. And the threat of it, and clearly Macy probably said, I don't care. Do it, because there's only value in the threat of it when once you do fire the bullet, then it has no more value.
There's no more value.
Toothpaste out of the tube.
And by the way, I think there are a lot of us who were like, yeah, my neighbor's trees do cause problems. I have a neighbor tree issue. We all do. I'm sure my trees cause my neighbor's problems.
You know, I might decide, I bet those people in that house, I don't like how they organize their refrigerator. I can't just walk in there and rearrange their fridge to suit me.
All right. I wanted to mention this last week. I didn't get to it. But there are two more Paul Newman Rolex Daytonas going to auction. Both were gifted to the actor and inscribed, and they're expected to fetch more than $1 million apiece. Up for auction, a 1993 Rolex reference 16520 Zenith Daytona. Maybe Zenith, I don't know, with Rolex. Gifted to 70-year-old Newman after he and his team won the GTS 1 class at the 95 24 Hours of Daytona. An endurance car race. He was the oldest driver ever to win, and on the case back of the watch is the inscription Rolex at Daytona 24, Paul Newman Rolex Motorsports. It's funny, that last watch, that Paul Newman watch,
from the early 80s?
Sold for $17.75 million.
Reasonable. Relatable.
And now, look, they found two more.
Yeah, just like that.
We found two more.
The woodwork.
Do you remember when Steve McQueen's sunglasses sold for $1 million or something like that? And his wife famously said, God, if I had known they'd sold for $1 million, I've got a whole drawer full of those things. We can just keep selling them.
Right.
I got $50 million. What do you think? Do you think these Rolexes are significant enough? Or do you think $1 million is low?
Well, Daytona, a winning Daytona Rolex is awesome. Like my friend Randy Popes, people are like, oh, let me see your Daytona. And they flip it over and it's like, winner, 24 Hours of Daytona.
Yes.
It's like a boss move, you know.
It's a seven-figure watch, but I don't know if it's a $17 million watch.
It's not. They're saying a million or over. I think that's low. I mean, I think if you're... one Rolex Paul Newman is 17.75. You can extrapolate backwards and go maybe three, maybe four. Who wouldn't want a Paul Newman Rolex Daytona? I would.
I mean, the one that he got for winning the race is cool. What's the other one?
They're both, both. I think one was from his wife.
Okay.
I think. I don't know, but just another good bet. People, they've got to get rid of their money. They got to do something. All right, you drove what? Where? And how?
Space Shuttle Runway in Florida, Bugatti Chiron, Super Sport.
Cape Canaveral?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Show your age.
15,000-foot runway, trying to go 250 miles an hour.
So wait, hold on. Let's back up. Let's set the table properly.
All right.
Bugatti invites you down to NASA and says,
for a space launch.
How would you like to drive... the Bugatti Chiron Pure Sport?
Super Sport.
Super Sport.
Yeah.
On a space runway.
Yeah, the shuttle runway.
The shuttle runway.
Yeah.
That's a yes. Are you the only journalist who's doing this?
No, there was three others.
Wow. And how long is the runway?
15,000 feet.
Which is
almost three miles. Okay. Almost 3 miles. And the way they had it set up was they wanted you to break 400 kilometers an hour, which is, they wanted you to go 250 miles an hour.
And that signal, is that a cone or a light?
They had some flag set up.
And a guy or a flag? Just
two big, humongous orange flags that you couldn't admit. You could see them from space.
Do you have a passenger in the car?
Okay, so we did the first one. I had my friend Jamie Morrow, who you know. He was there. We did a run up to 150, and we did a run up to 200. Then he got out of the car.
No way. Yeah.
Well, smart.
Yeah. As he said, they're not paying me enough. And I went and I hit.
So he got out at 200?
We went 206.
206 is fucking fast.
Let me tell you how fast this car is.
Why would he get out at 206? I'd get out at 150.
Because turns out I learned huge difference between 200 and 240s.
Ooh.
Because. Well, here's how fast this car is, right? So the first run, you go to 150, and then, you know, you get there in like 7 seconds or whatever the car is. It's ridiculously quick. Maybe it's 15 seconds. And then you still have like, you know, 9,000 feet to go, right? Because the thing is just so quick. So I'm supposed to like hold it there at 150. So I'm talking to Jamie, because these cars, you can talk to the person next to you at 150. And
that's what a lot of people don't know about that car.
Yeah. And I'm talking to him, and I look down, and we're going 180. Just like by like resting my foot on the throttle, it had jumped up 30 miles an hour.
And what it's is so the wind fast. Resistance like on that?
Well, car? That's where, okay, so I went and I came back in and they checked and I had gone 245 miles an hour, not 250. And I was like, huh, all right, let's do it again. And it only went to 243 and I was all depressed and couldn't figure it out. Then we got hit by lightning and we had to stop.
But my question was, I did 204, and somewhere about 180 to 204, the wind hitting the car made it jump so quick in a lot of different directions, even though the car is planted.
Yeah.
What happens when you go above that mark, when you say it's 204 different than 245? So what is the difference?
Yeah, so the wind moves you around. So, and what happened was, because the way the wind was blowing, we didn't run the direction that he had anticipated us running. We ran the other way. And there's like trees and gaps, so you're getting crosswind. And so on my one where I thought I went 250, it felt pretty good. And then when I did it again a minute later, the tires weren't in great shape for this run, and it was really getting pushed around.
Was it frightening?
The second run was kind of frightening, because it really, you're getting shoved, and I had to make a pretty big input. And I'm looking at 243 on the speedo, like trying to...
When you're doing inputs.
And I'm like, oh boy, yeah. But then we talked to an expert, and he said, yeah, if there's a crosswind, you lose 5 mile an hour of top speed. And they did it the rest of the week. And he said it just depended on when you went. The cars either went 245 or 250 in that length.
When you want to stop and slow down, can you let off the throttle the whole way?
You let off? No.
You cannot.
You would be dead. An alligator would be eating you.
Yeah, so tell me the instruction. That's what I want to
know. Oh, it's just, you know, so lift quickly, get on the brake, and, you know, probably do about a 50% input, and then crank it up just before ABS kicks in.
So you do lift quickly off the throttle?
You get on the brake quickly. I don't think you shouldn't lift quickly, because that'll upset the car.
Right.
But you want to get on the brake quickly. And you do about half, and then you kind of crank it up to about 90% pressure. And that, you know, the brakes are incredible.
Yeah.
But the second run I did was really stupid, because the tires were not good. And I was really getting moved around it. Because what happened was, this French guy, Pierre Henri, he's like, okay. He's like,
Pierre Henri, look at it. He's like, the Frenchest name ever.
Yeah.
Pierre Henri Croissant.
So he goes,
the Chiron.
Oh. He goes, when you see the
Pepe Le Pew.
Because he's like, how are the brakes? I go, the brakes are great. He goes, okay, when you see the flags, go a second past the flags.
Oh, good idea.
The Frenchman tells you that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Well, this guy is the guy who set the top speed in the Veyron Supersport.
Yes.
He went 268.
Pepe Le Poupon.
He knows what he's doing. Anyway, so I was sitting there. I saw the flag at 240, and I kept my foot in it. And it only got to 243, and I was like, I'm about to flip over.
That's great.
Why are the other journalists there to write about your death if it happens? The feather in their career.
No.
When Lieberman died, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Lieberman almost died.
When the guy gets out of the car, and he goes, they don't pay me enough. It must be a little scary, right? That moment. You question your whole occupation at that
point. The only time I questioned it was on that second run. And again, like at about 240, because, you know, the thing is, so at 250 miles an hour, you're going 367 feet a second. So a football field is 360 feet. So you're going a football field a second.
Oh.
So if you look at the speedo, a lot's happening.
You've already gone 1,000 feet.
Yeah. So that second run, and again, like I said, the tires weren't in good shape. You shouldn't do back-to-back 250 runs.
Well, 15,000 feet goes really
fast.
Oh,
it goes really fast once you get over 230. It's starting to you're really moving at that point. But it was fun. I was really disappointed, and then everyone's like, dude, you went like almost 250. You did good. I went 396 kilometers.
So what was your final speed?
245.31.
That's pretty fast. I think you're fine.
I think you can stop.
Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. Well, if they offer it again.
What about a dragster? Would you go 300?
Well, a dragster can go 300, yeah.
Yeah, would you do
me?
It?
Me? No, I'd be... No, that's very violent. This is more gradual. It takes... you know, 30 seconds to get up to 250. So, but it was fun. Yeah.
That's a good story. We can do questions. We'll do questions and then a couple of Dear Zuckermans. We'll try to make everybody happy. Let me see if I can get some of these questions. I already saw some good ones. Meta Beast. Let me see. Are you guys going to Ren Sport Reunion? We're talking about it. We're talking about it. We just started thinking about it. Tom O'Beer. I'm wondering, by the way, if there's going to be a Zuckerman head on the Chip Ganassi helmets. Scott Dixon for Long Beach Grand Prix.
Oh, definitely on Dixon's helmet, yeah.
When I say hello and give him a little hug, I'll make sure to tap it on the back of
the
his
new
helmet.
Stickers, which are on sale now. The new stickers are coming, by the way.
What are the new stickers for? Oh,
the Luftgekult. Yeah, the Luft one.
Luftgekult. Sorry.
Luftgekult.
My mistake. My mistake.
Luftgekult. Luftgekult.
When's Jerry coming back on? He'll be on soon. He will be on soon. We talked about your 914. Okay. When are we going to start watching SCR? I don't know. I'm cooling on that idea, guys. Uh-oh. I am cooling on it.
Uh-oh.
I can't see how it is going to make enough money to take care of itself, and it also seems it's going to make my life more difficult. And my life's already difficult.
Yeah, you got
but I'm not,
yelled at by GT3 owners.
We are in discussions about something fun. Maybe. But who knows? Right now, though, you're going to get this audio version of the show. None of us really want to be on camera all that much.
No.
And you know what I've learned in my research? It's like podcasts are okay on YouTube. Creating new content, reviewing cars, that's what really works there. I'm not sure how that benefits us. But more social with video, maybe we'll do some more of that. Let's see.
If we could do cameras here, which we can't do, it
we
would
can.
Be fun. But you know what I mean?
Like, why?
I don't want to give up the Friday nights.
Yeah.
I like the Friday nights.
These would be over.
Yeah, that's no fun. I say,
somebody wants, Marcus Traber wants me to get in trouble. Oh, is that Marco? full specs on your tennis racket and include mains and crosses and their tensions. I'm not going to give away my tennis secrets, but as you probably know, I'm a Babolat guy. And someone gave me, the Yonex rep gave me a Yonex to try, and I'm liking that too. And but I am a Pure Strike VS, a dedicated Pure Strike VS 98.
Zuckerman, what are you?
Zuckerman saw me hit the other day.
And
he
I
came
was impressed.
By.
I will tell. Ferriston exhibited athleticism. He has a very nice swing on the court. He looks good swinging. He has really good approach, really good follow through. Much better.
And he
I
said
thought.
He might come out and hit with us.
Yeah, nice. It made me want to do it.
We're at our friend Moise's house. We're playing classic rock. We got a great teacher there, Ron Booth. He's an old pro. He knows everybody. He's been playing forever. He's a great teacher. And we just have a nice couple of hours, and who cares? Leave us alone. Right?
It was very nice.
It was nice. Moise has that beautiful tennis court at his house, too.
You'll pop your Achilles right off.
You do have
running
to...
Running around.
You don't have to chase if you don't want to. Yeah. Right. Just don't chase it. It's fine. The biggest automotive regrets in life. Everybody knows God. Those.
I only went 245.
Here, YMDLA. You know, we were going to do this Cadillac show, and Johnny and I have been talking about it. Zuckerman sold the Cadillac.
Unfortunately.
Before we could get in, but yeah. Johnny and I were just chatting. We had a friendly chat yesterday on the phone, and he had a great idea, Johnny. Go ahead, pitch this idea to Zuckerman, because I think we're going to do it.
We're going to get a Rolls Royce.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it just so happens I went through Rolls Royce white gloves chauffeur training, so I know how to like properly drive a Rolls.
And we're going to take it out on a Friday night in Hollywood.
Really?
And record the podcast.
And do a show. And here, this show is not going to be a Wednesday show. It's just going to drop when we're done with it.
Oh, this is
no ads. This is just if you subscribe, and if you don't subscribe now, you will get this special episode, and we're not even going to tell you where it is.
I want. Can we please?
Do you like that idea first?
And I just want Hasbulla to come with us. Can we find
who is Hasbulla?
You know the little guy.
Who?
The little one. The little
Hasbulla.
You know, little boxer guy.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
I want. Who knows him?
He's in the States right now. I've seen it on Instagram.
Well, contact
him. I just wanted to be in the limo.
That people don't like it when there are four people on the show, but
he's,
we also, would,
he's not, he speaks, he doesn't speak English. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah.
There would be three and a half.
He'll just start punching everybody and then he'll pull out the flamethrower.
But I think Zuckerman should drive because I think he gets the most annoyed on the road.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Unless you want to.
No.
I think we took white glove.
I did. It was really fun. I learned a lot.
And we would end at our favorite place, Ciccone's.
Yes.
And have a nice Italian meal. Doesn't that sound like a show?
Sounds wonderful.
And it may be 10 minutes, it may be 10 hours. We don't know what's going to happen.
The listeners can be with us in glamorous Hollywood.
You know what we will do? I'll bring an extra mic and we can roll the window down and we'll have a little Hollywood Sunset Strip chat. Man in the street style. Whoa. Chat with some of our fellow LA streetwalkers and methods.
Hello, sir.
Hello, lady.
What do you charge? Zuckerman, please.
It's the evening. Lady of the evening.
Not a car question, but has Zuckerman ever had a case involving a vending machine?
Oh, yes.
Right away. Really? All right. Oh, yeah. What happens? A hand gets caught in it?
Okay, you know Mr. Mazza, who works with me.
Yes. And this is one of your lawyers.
This is one of my lawyers. And many years ago, when I was in law school, a guy invented a vending machine that was supposed to have frozen pizza in it and then heat it up and serve.
What could go wrong?
You can't even stop laughing.
What could go wrong?
Piping hot pizza. Out the vending machine. So this nice young married couple, a man and his pregnant wife, put all their money into the vending machine, which either served pizza on fire or frozen pizza.
And what happened? They got burned.
Burned the baby.
They had to go. Oh, no. They had to go to trial. As it went to trial, I think the lawyer for the pizza machine said, "I'll have you know I went to Harvard." And Mazza said, "Department G of Norwalk, no one gives a fuck."
He said, "What?"
He said, "Well," the guy said to him, "I'll have you know," the defense counsel.
This is in court.
No, this is before they went into court. He said, "I'll have you know I went to Harvard Law School." And Mazza said, "Well, I'll have you know no one in Department G of Norwalk gives a fuck."
No one in Department G what?
Of Norwalk. That's the courthouse.
Oh, I see.
No one in the courthouse. Oh, my God. Fuck.
I give a fuck.
Wow.
And he won. Yay. I give it.
Who won? The pizza guy won?
No. Mazza won.
Mazza won. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I love the flaming pizza.
Frozen. It was an idea ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Great idea just 40 years later.
Have you had a case on a bicycle built for two? No.
No.
Oh.
How about a refrigerator case?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, your fridge can catch fire and burn the whole house down.
Wow. How do you even exist in life knowing that everything in your home and in your cars can kill you?
Yes.
You've really seen it all.
Yeah.
You get out of your car, you lose a limb. You go to sleep, somebody runs you over.
Oh, yeah, that refrigerator? Keeping your food cold.
Have you ever handled one of those? Remember when there was blue ice falling off planes?
Yeah.
And plunging into people's homes? And
We were involved when they dumped the gas over the elementary school.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did they do that?
They had some sort of emergency. They thought they were going to have to make an emergency landing.
TWA?
Instead of going over the ocean, they went over, they were somewhere, again, Norwalk or somewhere like that, and they just decided to spritz the little kids on the playground. They gave the kids a little spritz of gasoline.
And the kids were injured. They were injured. That's awful.
To some degree.
That's awful.
Although, it turns out.
But nobody caught fire.
No.
They were just eyes burning.
And I learned something. Because I was carrying on about how terrible gasoline is for you. It's filled with all of these terrible chemicals. And it turns out jet fuel is safer.
Yeah, much safer. Yeah,
much safer than regular gas. And I thought the answer would be the opposite, that it's way worse.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Wow.
How did you know that?
I know a lot about gasoline.
Well, yeah. So the little spritz turned out to be less impressive than I thought.
Did you win?
Yeah, of course.
You ever done a vending machine that fell on somebody?
Yeah.
Because supposedly that's like one of the biggest killers is vending machines.
No, gravestones is the biggest killer of falling on people.
In the olden days, like the 80s and 90s, it was heavy TV sets on dressers.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a warning. Yeah. And those things would, some little kid would open a drawer to climb up to change the TV, and that was the end of that show.
Oh.
Canceled forever.
Kip Barlow wants to know, should I buy an entry-level first Rolex? Or what entry-level first Rolex should I buy, used or vintage? Aren't they kind of the same? Yeah, I would zero in on what your dream watch is and then see if you can find a version of it pre-owned. It's probably the cheaper market. Vintage, you can go down. Or you can do what I did. You go to a different brand until you can afford the Rolex.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm at heart, I'm a Heuer guy and a Tag Heuer guy. That's my favorite watch brand. I have Rolexes. I'm wearing one right now.
Ooh.
My nice blue-black TMT, which I love. But I prefer the Tag Heuers. I wear those most of the time. The Omega Swatch. I like my Omega Speedmaster. There's lots of great stuff you can get.
You can get a Seiko built to look like a Rolex.
I am warming to Seiko, Johnny, but there's so many.
You see this one?
Yeah, that's
Cody built it.
Yeah. There's so many. It's such a hot-rodded watch world, though, these days.
It's crazy, right?
It's hard to keep track of it as a brand because it's so broad. There's so many models and so many now mod models. What do they call that?
Yeah, mods. Yeah.
Mods that. I don't even know what I'm looking at. And then there are so many, they're knocking off Rolexes that are Seikos, which I don't even understand who wants to do that. Like, you know, that Ronnie Chang watch was the purest, that was an entry point for me with that brand, where I thought that Bruce Lee, whatever Seiko that's legit. That is cool, and that has a nice story to it. And that, I think, is the anchor in. But still, I probably picked 25 watches in the last 2 weeks that I would have bought for Seiko because I don't know where to strike first.
It's endless, yeah. But I mean, you know, with the modded watch for like $500 to $700, you can get a unique watch that, you know, it's yours, doesn't exist anywhere else, and they look good.
I'm getting that M2, by the way. Thank you for passing. Yeah, I'm gonna have that car. I have to tell you, after who was talking about it, Matt?
Yes.
He didn't like the way it looked, and I loved the way it looked.
Oh, I hate the way it looked.
God, I really liked it, and I wrote them on the little note, and I said I'd like to give this a shot. I'm really into the way it looks. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
supposed to drive great. Supposed to drive great.
And I was supposed to have a Ferrari for tonight for review, the 296, and something went wrong.
I got your
Performante. Oh, you've got the Performante.
Yeah,
I missed that. Is it the same one?
No, it's red.
Oh, that's sweet.
I want to take a look.
It's nice.
Yeah.
No, the Ferrari, they canceled on it for some reason.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Probably something.
Let's do now. Look, it's an hour. We've been going for an hour. We're going to do some Dear Zuckerman's.
Bonus time.
And then you can't complain anymore. By the
way, they'll find something. Don't worry.
When you say the show, let me try and find this, isn't long enough, that's the biggest compliment you can give us. Leave them wanting more is the biggest compliment you can give us. Let me find some Dear Zuckermans here.
And I want the audience to understand how the Zuckerman mind works. So I'm going to give you a little insight into how I approach Dear Zuckerman. There's basically two categories.
You're getting into the making of Dear Zuckerman?
I'm getting into the making of
what the problems are. Just do the bit.
People are always complaining, I don't like what they're doing, or I don't know what to do. And it frequently involves sex or money.
And you're an expert in both.
Yes, and that's basically the premise of all of these problems.
Okay, wait, here they are. They're hard to see because they're... You always just send me a little email with badly framed photographs, Grandpa. Let me see if this is one of them. Yes. Okay. Dear Zuckerman, my husband's boss, an executive at a multinational firm, came to our city on vacation and invited us to dinner. We made reservations at our favorite restaurant. When the bill came, the boss's husband picked up the check and he said, "We've got this." We thanked them and said... we hadn't intended for them to pay. The next day, my husband received an email from his boss saying he just saw the credit card charge, which was larger than expected. He planned to ask the restaurant if there was an error. We were so embarrassed, we ordered more to drink than them. So we pulled up the menu online, totaled our share with tax and tip, and sent them a check. It was $37 more than their share. We apologized for not insisting on splitting the bill. Did we do the right thing, Zuckerman?
Oh, God. Hey, are you, again,
I don't know. Is this the New York Times?
This is the category of I don't know what to do. First of all, your boss or the boss's husband, they're a bunch of cheapskates. They invite you to dinner, you know, and they can't call later and ask for money. And you did more than enough. And these people should be ashamed when they see you. You shouldn't be ashamed. And next time they come to town, don't go to dinner with them.
Can you imagine?
What kind of multinational is worried about $37?
Right? That's, yeah. The Shake Shack, maybe. I don't know.
Shake Shack's got $1 billion.
None of this makes sense. And why you're writing the New York Times.
And why they're publishing it.
And what? Yeah, okay. Forget it.
It's wild.
Dear Zuckerman. A lot of married couples in this one. My husband and I received an email from a club we belong to telling us that a fellow member, part of a married couple with whom we are friendly, had died. Unfortunately, that's not the funny part.
Sorry.
Unfortunately, we misread the note and believed that the husband had died when it was in fact his wife who had passed away. We sent flowers and a warm note to the wife when we should have sent them to the husband. Now we're mortified. How do we recover from this terrible faux pas and send proper condolences? Or is that impossible? I am happy to admit I am an idiot, if that helps.
This is the greatest thing you've ever done. You made a mistake and you showed the guy how much, you showed the survivor how much you liked him.
Yes.
They have these things where people want to go to their own funeral all the time. I wonder what people will say when I die. Well, you just gave that guy the greatest favor in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. So he knows you care. He knows everybody cares. So what? So what? Plus, he's going to die anyway, so forget it. Don't be mortified. She's mortified, which is what? That's the Latin word for dying.
I'm so mortified that I'm going to write a global publication with my story so that everyone reads it.
But man, they really got it wrong. I mean, how do you? That's really wrong.
But they did the right thing. The letter and the flowers.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, if you have to learn about this from the club, then you weren't friends.
Yeah.
Right.
They would have called you.
What kind of club is this?
This was that nudist car show we were talking about a few weeks back. Back in the news.
It's the death club. Our latest death this week. We have three scheduled.
It does. It does feel that way sometimes, Zuckerman, as we get older.
Yes.
The death of the week.
We've had a great week. Bumper crop of corpses.
My mom is always calling me about that. Well, you're never going to guess who died this week. Do you remember Mr. Alexander?
And then you say, that's terrific, Mom.
No.
I never liked Grandpa Hank.
Grandpa. Dear Zuckerman, my next door neighbor, parentheses, a single man, is a traveling salesman. I don't believe any of this story already. He lives on the road from Tuesday mornings until Thursday nights. The problem, trash pickup is on Wednesdays, which means he brings his trash bins to the curb a day early and leaves them out a day too long. I find this unsightly and rude. Zuckerman, any advice?
Okay. One of the two of you needs to kill themselves. This is the only... Either the traveling salesman who just can't be there, he needs to do ritual disembowelment on your doorstep to make you happy. Well, I mean, what the fuck does this guy... What more can he do?
What? Yeah, people have forgotten how to be neighbors.
What more can he do? Put his bins away for him.
Yeah, right.
Do something
Take
nice.
Them out. Hey, you know what I'm going to do for you?
He'll thank you. Maybe... She's single with her parentheses, and she's, you know, he didn't look at her.
Here's what I would do, ma'am. Take your acid green GT3 and run over those trash cans. That's what that GT3 is for. Yes.
Take those trash cans and shove them up your ass.
Jesus, Zuckerman. Yeah. Come on. Calm down. And our final letter tonight, and this is a real letter. Dear Zuckerman, I was awakened at 3 a.m. by a barking police dog while someone was being arrested on my front lawn. I love this. This morning, I discovered the dog had pooped on my grass. I'm considering complaining to the police about it, but don't want to seem ungrateful for the job they do. What do you think, Lisa, in Anaheim, California?
What do I think? What do I, yeah, I want you. I'm going to make a suggestion, Lisa. I want you to call 911. Call 911 right away and say the police dog shit on your lawn and they need to come clean it up. And hopefully they come and taser you.
What the fuck?
And taser the poop right out of you. And how does she know? How does she know it was the police dog? I mean, did she watch it? I mean, I think these dogs are trained. I don't think they're trained to shit while they're biting someone.
Can't she help out? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a letter to the New York Times.
She could pick up the poop, and that would be the end of it. It would take less effort than writing a fucking letter.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Sandwich.
That's
open up.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
Wow.
I added that one in there. I knew you'd like it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'd like to play K Sera Sera right now.
It's your show, Coconuts.
Sly and the Family Stone, but I can't find it. The perfect end song. You want to play it?
Yeah.
Should we play everybody out? And I don't know what we have for you next week. Zuckerman, we're going to be out of town. Let me see. I think it's on Fresh, if I'm not mistaken. There it is.
You going to do a show on the road?
We should. What a great idea.
Ooh. There it is. This is like the end of SNL. I've got K Sera Sera playing. We've had a great show, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny Lieberman. Paul Zuckerman.
Lizzo.
And Spike Ferriston. Here it is. Slide Family Stone.
Just a little girl. I asked my mother.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.